Go. Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Gorder and our sideline reporter for our Bearcat football games, Chris Roush. And Chris will be going through the crowd here and picking up some of the comment cards or questions for our coaches as the evening goes along. And also we'll be helping with some of the prizes that we'll be handing out during our program as well. And we've got a good show on hand for tonight. Our guests will include a Northwest Women's Golf Coach, Pat McLaughlin, also Northwest Athletic Director Mel Churchman. We'll be hearing from Northwest defensive lineman Matt Minert on the football team as our player of the show, and also our Northwest head football coach Adam Doral. A reminder that support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body. Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located at near Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch or dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For dine-in or carry-out, more information at 660-582-2699. And as always, thanks to Carson and Renee and the wait staff here for all their work throughout our show. Again, don't forget, if you have any questions for our guests tonight, pick up one of the question cards and write out your question, and it'll be passed up to us, and we'll pass that along to our guests tonight. And again, Matt, it's been a good time with Northwest Missouri State Athletics and a big weekend coming up.
Yeah, you know, we saw earlier this week a home match. You know, we've only seen one home match for volleyball up to this point, and they had a real tight one against a very traditionally good team in Central Missouri on Wednesday night. And, of course, soccer's going to be in action, and Fall Classic at Arrowhead. What more can you say there? So it seems like each and every week we're talking about maybe different opponents in different times, but it's always ongoing, continuing. You throw basketball into the mix starting this week as well, and this is probably one of the better times of year in terms of the number of teams that are in action or getting ready for action.
And if you talk about basketball coming up a little bit later tonight on the Northwest campus, you've got the basketball bash for the Northwest men's and women's basketball teams, and a lot of fun with that every year.
You know, it's exciting to see the teams for the first time that year. There's a lot of people coming back, but I think the dance competition might be getting more chatter this year, and could be just as exciting. But it's a good opportunity to be able to see the team and meet the team before they get underway in a couple of weeks.
And again, a good show on hand for tonight. When we come back, we'll hear from Pat McLaughlin, the head of women's golf coach at Northwest Missouri State. Pat will be joining us right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell and St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prinery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
And back out at Carson's in downtown Maryville for the Bearcats coaches show as we talk golf. And I know I talked to somebody earlier today. They were going to try to squeeze in as many rounds before the snow starts to fly and too many of the leaves get in the way, which is definitely not a bad thing. Northwest Women's Golf Coach Pat McLaughlin joining us. And Coach, you guys have had a couple of second place finishes in the last two tournaments. The most recent, the Bearcat Classic. How'd everything go with the tournament out there at Mazingo?
Well, it was a lot of fun, actually. We shot our low score of the year, which I guess one would expect at your home tournament. But at the same time, the conditions were extremely windy. And, you know, while we're used to that, when you get into competitions, it's a lot different than it is at practice or even in qualification. But the team that beat us is actually a national powerhouse in their division. And we were happy to see them come this year for the first time. But we beat every other team in the MIAA and the Grand Valley Lakes Conference that came in. That was part of the tournament. It was a nine-team tournament. It was a nice-sized tournament with 59 players. And Missouri Western was third place, and we did get a hold of them by 15 strokes, so that's always a good thing, too.
When you talk about Mazingo and that course, I know I've heard it before with the high school teams, but with you guys and the number of different courses that you see, this course has to do a good job of preparing you for a lot of different courses that you see throughout the year.
Well, yeah, it's a fabulous practice facility. The way it's set up and things like that, that we can go out there at any time. And the people out of Mazingo have been great to us. But one of the other benefits, and not maybe a lot of your listeners know this, but we also have privileges at the country club. And today we're actually qualifying at the country club because we're playing that type of course. With Mazingo being open as it is, more of a links style, if you will, course, it's nice to be able to practice at a facility that has the tighter fairways, the smaller greens, like you do encounter sometimes in competition. So we can switch it around depending on where we're going, and I think that's a real benefit for the team.
Well, the two second place team finishes, Cassie Lowell with a couple of MIAA Player of the Week honors. And, you know, I know we talked to her here just a few weeks ago on the show, and it's got to be exciting for her to get toward the end of the season and really sounds like be playing her best golf of this fall.
She really is. Her stroke average now is down below 80, and that's the goal that we have for all of our players, is to get that down there. That's not an easy thing to do. Week in, week out, competition, different courses, and she has it below that. She's actually in the top 25 now, the region, as a individual. And it's because of that kind of consistency that she's had that's really helped a lot. And as a captain, her and Christina D'Angela, Christina set tied her personal record with a 76 the first day. And it's that kind of leadership, too, of course, that really helps when you're trying to get those lower scores, which you have to have with the competition we play.
Talk a little bit about, with golf, obviously, it's a team and individual sport all in one. It's a little bit different than some of the other sports. So when the players take their approach to a meet, they thinking individually, and then if you do well individually, you know the team is going to do individually. Is that basically the focus that they take?
That really is kind of the mindset. If you go out there and take care of business for yourself, the team will benefit from that. If you go out and I don't coach them to play the other teams. I coach them to go out and play the course. You go out and you play the course. You do the very best that you possibly can. Eliminate mistakes. And at the end of the day, when you come in, if we can meet our goals and objectives that we set as a team, then where we place in a tournament is relative to our own individual, not only scores, but objectives. And There have been a few times when we're in second place that I say if you beat the girls that you're playing against, we will win this thing. But other than that, typically we are playing the course and we're setting an objective. If our team goal is a 315 as a team, that's what we're striving to do. We come in, we meet that, then we evaluate where we are in the mix, and that keeps us looking forward, saying, okay, we may have lost to these two teams, but we're gaining on them. And it keeps that momentum and I think that progress going.
It seems like, in a sense, if you take that approach, that it may take a little bit of pressure off, in the sense that, you know, you may have a girl that's not worried about the other girls in their group necessarily thinking about what they're doing. They're just focused on, like you said, the course and their round individually.
It really does, especially our younger players. You know, they're playing against seniors sometimes. And they have 4 years of college golf makes a heck of a lot of difference between being in your third, you know, tournament as a freshman. And for them to be able to go out and say, okay, my goal today is no greater than 82, let's say, as a freshman. And if they could go out and achieve that, maybe the players they're playing with shot a 79 or an 80, but they don't have to meet them head on head. If they shoot their 82, I know that some seniors and some upperclassmen are going to shoot lower scores than that. So as a team, when you, at the end of the day, when you add those together, that's how you come up with your team score. And it's best for everyone. If you try to put pressure on a freshman coming in and say, you're going to have to shoot in the 70s for us to have a chance today, it's like any sport. They go out there, it's not because they're not trying, they try too hard.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people have heard of MIAA conference tournaments. You guys have coming up the MIAA preview tournament.
Yes.
Is there a big difference between a preview tournament and a conference tournament?
Well, actually, Matt, for the first time this year, the MIAA has decided that the women's golf programs are going to have mandatory tournaments as well as the men's. The men's has done that for quite some time. But in the fall this year, we will have the preview tournament at Lindenwood coming up. And then in mid-March, we're going to go down to Central Oklahoma for a mandatory tournament as well, hosted by Central Oklahoma. The men have been doing that where they've had some mandatory tournaments in the fall and in the spring, and you get points according to how you finish. And the nice thing about that is everything doesn't ride on the conference tournament at the end, because you have a conference tournament champion, and then you have an overall conference champion based upon five tournaments and the number of points that you acquire. So it's much, I think, the equality. You could have a bad day at the conference tournament, in other words, at the end of the season, and place third, but you may have led the conference throughout the other four tournaments. And so I think eventually we're going to evolve that way as well. But this is kind of the baby step into that. And this coming tournament, not only does it have all MIAA schools, but we have the three top Northern Sun schools from our region, with Augustana, Mankato, and Concordia. And then some Grand Valley Lake schools are going to be there too. So this is going to be a 17-team, 97-player tournament. And it's going to tell us going into the wintertime exactly where we stand.
Weather, have you looked ahead yet?
Of course I have. Other than if you're in the boating industry like my daughter Megan, it may be a situation where I'm the closest weather watcher that there may be when it comes to golf. But yes, and the weather is not fantastic. But at the same time, it's not horrible either. It's supposed to be in the upper 50s, and it's supposed to be rain-free, which is the key.
I would guess that temperatures that allow them to wear fewer layers, because I'm guessing if you put on a few layers, that swinging becomes it becomes different, basically.
Oh, it does. The weather so much changes the game because of the swing and because of your ability to do so. In fact, many of our players, realizing that, will wear a heavier coat, and then as they get ready to swing, they'll take the heavy coat actually off, hit their shot, put it back on, walk to their ball in order to keep away from all that situation. But we do dress in layers in order to make it as good as possible. And my assistant coach up there, my wife Lana, also provides the girls with their hand warmers and their earmuffs and all those kind of things to keep them toasty till they can get to play.
The inside strategy of
absolutely
golf in the fall.
Anything we can do.
Which I'm guess probably carries over at the beginning of the spring season because it's a little cooler when you get started then.
Yeah, it, actually, the fall season is so much better typically than the spring.
Yeah.
Last year we got snowed out of two tournaments, actually, where we made up one of those, but our conference tournament at the end of April, even the second day, got snowed out. And it's just hard to judge what the weather is going to be like. But the girls have done a good job of trying to get rid of that distraction as much as they possibly can and just play golf. And we realize, we talk about it, the mental toughness that we have versus some of the other teams who are huddled together going, it's so cold, where our girls are going out there and say, okay, for the next 4.5 hours, I'm just going to have to put it out of my mind. It's time to get ready and play golf.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks for joining us, and good luck to you and the team down at St. Charles next week.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and I also wanted to say thank you to you guys for having us on and the community for the support that they've given us. Everywhere we go, the players included, talk about, wow, the support that we get and the look at women's golf now, how it's come really kind of full circle from nobody even knowing we have a team to now looking at it and saying, you know, hey, I saw your name in the paper and I saw how well you guys were doing. Keep up the good job. And this is part of it. We really appreciate it.
Well, I know for me, it's jealousy. I'd love to Sunday, Monday be in St. Charles playing golf. And so I love to talk about it, but I'd like to be out there. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that way.
I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's difficult for me to watch and not want to get out there and play myself. But
yeah,
it's part of the coaching process, and I love it, and it's been a great experience.
All right. Good luck, Pat.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it very much.
That is Pat McLaughlin. He is the women's golf coach at Northwest Missouri State. And, again, they'll be in action in St. Charles at the Whitmore Country Club, the Lindenwood MIAA Preview Tournament. That's on the 21st and 22nd. Next week. We'll take a timeout and be back with more here from Carson's in downtown Maryville on the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show after this.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Highline Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HighlineHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at fmnottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for this Bearcat Sports broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, and we're joined now from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville by Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. Mel, good to have you with us on the show tonight.
Thanks, Sean. It's good to be here, and big week.
Oh, it certainly is. The Fall Classic at Arrowhead. It's been something the last 12 years or so that's been very good for both Northwest Missouri State and Pittsburgh State. And you've been in on the coaching side of things, going down to Arrowhead every year, now this year on the administration side. Just talk a little bit about what it means for the two programs to go down and play in Kansas City each year.
Well, you know, I think there's several things that that we feel like justify or make it important for us to have that game at Arrowhead. Number one, I think both Coach Dorrell and Coach Beck from Pittsburgh State would be the first two to tell you that it is a recruiting advantage. There's just no doubt about it that when you can go into a kid's house anywhere in the Kansas City area and you can tell him, for the next 4 years, we're going to play at Arrowhead, and you're going to have that opportunity to play in Chiefs Stadium. That's a big thing. I think, second of all, from a financial standpoint, you know, I don't want to get into dollars, but it's basically the way we figure it is, it's better than two home games, you know, from a financial standpoint. So, yeah, and that's figuring in your travel in it. So, so that's a big factor. And then the third factor is our fans. And you say, well, it'd be great to have it here and then go to Pitt the next year, and like we do with everybody else. So it's a great game. We seat about 8,000 here. We can get about 10,000. If we played Pitt at home next year, there would be about 9,500 people from Northwest, and there'd be, if they were lucky, 500 people from Pitt. And the next year we go to Pitt, and they seat 11,000, and they'd have 12, they'd have, you know, 10,700, and we'd have 300, you know. So from a fan standpoint, to watch this game every year, we got plenty of seats. We won't run out of seats Saturday. If anybody wants to see that game, there'll be a place for them to sit. So I think those are the three big things that we look at, and you know, and it's been a great experience. And it's not just our football players. I've had the opportunity to speak, I think, either two or three times to the band banquet at the end of the year, and hear their seniors stand up and talk, and every year a number of them will say, my greatest experience in band was playing at, you know, being in a band at Arrowhead and marching at Arrowhead. So, you know, and for our students and for our fans, it's a great opportunity for our fans. So I just think it's a great event.
When you talk about the fans, it really has become essentially a second homecoming for a lot of people. I know with the ability to fly into KCI, and although it's not that far of a drive up to Maryville from there to get here for games as well, but a lot of people kind of build their fall around coming in and making it a big weekend in Kansas City.
Well, they really do. And, you know, at times it's been bigger. In that respect, it's been bigger than homecoming. And we don't, you know, we're not saying that that we don't appreciate homecoming, because homecoming is a great event here. But, I mean, it's just another opportunity for so many of our fans to get together and you know, and appreciate great football and appreciate the Bearcats.
What are some of the things fans should keep in mind when they go down this weekend for them?
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, first of all, we're ahead of about the last 3 or 4 years in ticket sales, so I'm excited about that. Not where I, you know, I changed. I used to not worry about that. All I worried about is whether we won or lost, but now, you know, we're worried about the dollars. But I think that the biggest change is going to be what they call the bag policy, where, you know, the only thing you can carry in has to be in a 8x10 plastic bag, a clear plastic bag. You can't carry you can carry a small purse in if it's that size, but that's it. And so, you know, you can't take a backpack in, you can't take a bigger purse in, and we want our fans to know that. We put out a lot of publicity about it, but we want them to know that so that they can leave that stuff in the car, not have to, not get all the way to the gate and ready to hand their ticket, and they say, oh, you can't take that stuff in, so what do? Now you either throw it away, which they're not going to do, or you walk all the way back to your car. And so I think that's going to be the biggest change.
And as far as you talked a little bit about the difference of preparing as a coach and now as an administrator, so kind of a different little mindset here for you coming into this weekend.
Well, it really is, and I found out one thing. I never appreciated nearly enough all the work that goes into it. We've been having, you know, we have a weekly conference call that you know, Mark Clements and Scott Nielsen and Nate Davis and I, for sure, the four of us are on once a week, and we started that already in August. We actually had a couple of them, I think one in June and one in July. So there's a lot of work that goes into it, and a lot of things come up. You know, I mean, we had a little change in our schedule even tonight when, you know, something with the Chiefs and, you know, something they couldn't couldn't help. It's just the way it worked out, but it always works out in the long run.
And really, one of the things that makes it work is the way the Chiefs welcome that game every year.
The Chiefs have been great. I remember I can go all the way back to 2002 and early spring when Dr. Bob talked to me and said, would you be interested in moving that game off campus because we were in construction? And I said, sure. It'd be all right. I said, what are you thinking? And he said, well, I'm thinking Arrowhead. And I didn't laugh because I respected Dr. Bob that much. But inside, I just chuckled and thought, you know, there's no way the Chiefs are going to have a couple of Division II teams there. And they did, and they loved it. And Lamar Hunt loved to have colleges there, and he was so gracious, and they've been that way, and you know, it changed a little bit for a few years. They went through some different management, but now it's back, and we've been working with Gary Spaney, who was a great player at K-State and then a great player for the Chiefs, and Gary's the guy we've been working with for just about the whole duration, and he's a tremendous person, very high character, with a lot of integrity, and he treats us right, and so it's been a great experience for us.
And one of the things that had a lot of people concerned, not only about the Arrowhead situation, but with the way the NIAA schedule was set going in next year, to where you wouldn't be playing, Northwest wouldn't be playing Pittsburgh State for a few years due to the rotation, but the change in the conference alignment that was announced here a couple, 3 weeks ago means that you're going to be back playing Pittsburgh State every year, and I think just to taking Arrowhead out of the situation when Northwest and Pitt plays every year, that's good for the MIAA.
Well, it's good for the MIAA. It's good for the MIAA that everybody's going to play everybody. I was not a fan of having 14 or 16 teams and a conference champion where there's a chance that two teams could go undefeated and never play each other. I just didn't like that. And, you know, I know there was no solution to it, but that's the way it was. But I'm excited that we're back to 12 teams. It'd be nice in some respects if somehow we could have a non-conference game in there. We enjoy non-conference games, but right now that's not a possibility. And like you said, we're going to play Pitt every year. We're going to play Central every year. We're going to play Western every year. Washburn every year. Those are good games for us, and so I think it's great for our conference.
As far as the future at Arrowhead, I know a lot of things still have to be worked out about the site for that game.
Well, yeah, we have talked about it, and I can assure you, and I can assure our fans, that there's going to be discussion as soon as the season's over. We're going to have a real serious discussion, and hopefully we'll be able to, my hope is that things will work out and we can go back there and continue to play there. I think that it's just a matter of us all getting together, us and Pitt and the Chiefs. Gary is already, Gary was all excited when that announcement came, and he said, man, you can be back here next year. And so they really embraced the game, and it's been good for them as well. So we'll work on that as soon as the season's over, and hopefully get something worked out probably before the first of the year.
From an administrative standpoint, this has to be a busy year for you, along with everyone on staff with in the athletic department, with the fall sports continuing on. You've got basketball starting up with a special event tonight over Bearcat Arena. It's a busy time for you guys.
It is, John. There's a lot going on. The tennis has finished up their fall schedule, but all the other sports are still going. Baseball's got a scrimmage yet this weekend. I think softball is done with their fall practices now, but volleyball is at Central Oklahoma tomorrow night. Soccer's at home Friday night, tomorrow night, and Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We've got two home soccer matches this weekend. We've got the game at Arrowhead. Volleyball's been on the road forever, but they've got a bunch of home games coming up. And like you said, basketball started. Men and women are practicing, official practice now. Big Midnight Madness, Bearcat Basketball Bash, whatever you want to call it, is going on at 8 o'clock tonight. That'll be exciting and get our fans excited about basketball as well. So it's a busy time, but it's a good time.
All right, Mel, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, John.
That's the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchma, with us on the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up on the Coach's Show tonight from a Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We'll be talking with Bearcat defensive end Matt Meinert and also the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. That's all coming up as the Bearcat Coach's Show continues after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MarylandMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville. Located at 1528 South Main Street, Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at NorthwestBearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
Back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the KXEV Bearcat Coaches Show. We're going to start talking Northwest Missouri State football, of course, with the Fall Classic coming up here in just a moment. But we want to start our giveaways tonight, and I've got a couple of gift cards from the student body. And this first one, I've got a name that's been mispronounced my whole life, so I'm not even going to try this one. Heather V-E-B-O-U-T. I'm just going to spell it because I would butcher it. Any reaction? Maybe, yeah? Okay. Well, we've got another student body gift card, and I can pronounce this one. Rich Mendenhall. Rich is a winner of a student body gift card as well, so come on over and pick that up, and Chris will have that stuff for you. Again, the Bearcats this weekend, Saturday, down at Arrowhead Stadium once again. And joining us now from the Bearcat football team is Matt Meinert. He is a senior out of Easton, Kansas. And, Matt, just talk about the excitement level leading into this game. I know you guys get excited for every game, but getting the opportunity to play in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium, what's that feeling like?
It's really exciting. I mean, 15, 20,000 people. I mean, it's going to be loud in there. That's always fun. And then playing in an NFL stadium, playing Pitt 6-0, I mean, that's even more exciting, too.
You think you can get the fans to about 137.5 decibels?
That'd be sweet.
This weekend, yeah. Especially if they're all wearing green, right?
Yeah.
Talk about as the schedule kind of changes for you guys. Obviously, you're undefeated at this point, but the teams that you've got coming up, it seems like it's time to really get serious, starting with Pitt this weekend. I know you usually take it one game at a time, like you're supposed to, but is there a feel like you know you've really got to buckle down from here on out the rest of the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, we really just try to concentrate each week on getting better. I mean, we pick things out each week that we got to do better and continue to, I mean, get to our ultimate goal of being the best we can, you know?
When you look at this Pittsburgh State offense, they've got some guys coming back that have pretty talented, had mm-hmm. some success last year. What are you looking at out of this offense? What are you expecting from your perspective on the defensive side?
They're going to try to run the ball at us, I think. So, I mean, it's good for us. We like that. So,
you've had some success against the run. What's been the key to being able to stop? Like, especially look at last week. You know, you came in against a team that been able to run the ball all this year, but you were able to slow them down. Where does that success come from?
Just being physical up front and just knowing our job.
Getting an opportunity, I know Dave Tollefson's kind of been able to work with you guys a little bit. To have that opportunity, the experience he brings, being a former Bearcat, how much has that meant to you guys this year?
It's pretty neat to have, you know, him coming back and then teaching us things. I mean, he's won 2 Super Bowl rings, so he's pretty good at what he does.
Well, talk about working with the guys. You've got a good entire defense. Sometimes, you know, the D-line may be good, but another area the linebackers might not be. But all three levels seem to be very strong this year. Does it make it a little bit easier to focus on your 111th, like the coach is always talking about, when you know you can trust the guys around you?
Yeah, and then, I mean, we got the younger guys pushing us, too, to make us work even harder. But, I mean, that's a big thing to have, their 111th, is trust.
How is that role different? Obviously, at one point, you were one of the younger guys that were trying to push players along and get playing time. What's it like being on the other end of that, knowing that you've got guys right on your heels and you've always got to be playing and practicing hard?
I mean, just got to work hard every day, you know? I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
Having that.
You still obviously giving pointers, making sure, you know, you're working with each other. Even though there's competition, it seems like working together still is a major part of what you guys have done.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing, is getting better. So, I mean, if it's helping the younger guys get better, with them getting better, it's going to make us get better.
Well, Matt, good luck to you this weekend. I know Arrowhead is a blast to play in. I'm sure it's just, you know, an area, being from Eastern Kansas, I'm sure you've watched a lot of games, and playing at Arrowhead has just got to be one of the most exciting moments each and every year for you.
Yep.
All right, Matt, good luck to you this weekend.
Thank you.
That is Matt Minert. He is a defensive lineman for Northwest Missouri State. Again, they match up this Saturday at Arrowhead Stadium with Pittsburgh State in the Fall Classic at Arrowhead. We'll have more from Carson's in downtown Maryville when we come back right after this on the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaccaro and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777.
Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Judy Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grill. And before we talk with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorr, we have some more giveaways to announce here. And also a reminder, too, that if you have a question for Coach Dorr, go ahead and pass that card up, and we will relay that on to AD as well. Now, we've got some giveaways. Here is somebody named Jerry Dorrell, who receives a Bearcat Whiteout T-shirt. So, AD, I don't know if you know Jerry or not there, but...
Yeah, that was done before I got up here.
So, Jerry Dorrell gets a Bearcat Whiteout T-shirt for this weekend. And also, Katie McGuire receives a Student Body gift card. So, congratulations to Katie for getting a Student Body gift card, Katie McGuire. And also, another Bearcat Whiteout T-shirt. T-shirt goes to Taylor Breen. So Taylor Breen receives a Whiteout T-shirt. So those are some of the giveaways that we have here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. And time out to talk with the head coach of the Bearcats, Adam Dorrell. And AD, a good win for your team last Saturday.
Yeah, thanks. It was. We played really well in about every phase we could. And very exciting. Got a chance to play a lot of kids. And it was great to see them. A lot of the backups got in for pretty much the third and a lot of the fourth quarter, and they did a lot better job this week of executing and not making a bunch of mental mistakes and penalties like they did down at Northeastern Oklahoma. So I was very proud of them for that. I thought we got better as a football team and gained some confidence moving forward, won the turnover battle, run, catching the ball, doing all phases. Got a safety, scored points on special teams again, and I thought our defense just played really, really well against a good offense.
It seemed like you talked about going into that, stopping the run was going to be a big key, and you obviously were able to do that. It seems like it's almost kind of tradition. I mean, there's been good running backs that have gone up against Northwest teams that have not had any success. What is it about you guys' defense that you're able to stop the run consistently?
Well, I think a lot of it's we preach that, and our kids really buy into it, and they believe in it. I think our coaches defensively do a great job from a scheme standpoint, and our kids are fundamentally sound. I think that's a lot of it. But our kids do a good job with all the fronts that we do of getting their run fits and getting fitted in where they're supposed to be, and they make tackles when they're there. So it was a very good running back that they stopped on Saturday.
Talk about stopping a running back. This goes back a few years, but I think Northwest, the only team that's ever been able to stop Danny Woodhead, including NFL teams.
So. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. We talk about that a lot. I don't know if you remember Jared Urshfammer. That was like, that was Urshfammer's nemesis. And when they used to, when he was a GA here, they used to cut out his picture and put it up in front of his locker. But yeah, that's one of those guys. It's crazy to see that guy playing on the NFL, and not just playing. He's had a great NFL career and made a lot of money doing it.
Now, let's talk a little bit about how the fact that the schedule does kind of change in terms of now you really get to start to see some challenges. And I know you've focused on the games you have played as challenges, but how does it change knowing that teams you're going up, you're going to start seeing undefeated teams and things like that now?
Yeah, well, I think everything we've done to this point is to get ready for the second half of the season. And that's easier said than done sometimes. You can't have a slip-up in this week because you'll get upset, and that's happened in a couple other teams this year. So I'm just proud of our kids, the way they've been focused each week, and they've handled it. But the thing that we talked about each game was getting better, and it's leading up to this point. And, you know, as a coach, I feel really good about our kids right now because I feel like they've really bought into that. Our senior leadership is great, and I believe we have gotten better each and every week. You look at the number of minutes some of our backups have played, younger kids, it's significant. And, you know, they're only one play away from being a starter with an injury. So, you know, we feel pretty good about where we're at right now. And obviously there's things we can do better, and that's every team. But I'm just very proud of our kids and their focus and the way they've gotten better each week.
Now, one area that you've been looking at to see improvement as the weeks go along is in the running game. And last week you were able to get a lot of things going on the ground with your squad.
Yeah, we sure did. You know, I think it was almost some of the times we're running the football to set up our play-action passes. Last week, I think that worked a little bit opposite. We got them up top a few times, and it loosened them up a little bit. But, yeah, we're doing a better job with that. I thought our double teams at the point of attack were good. We had guys finishing blocks and in our backs. We feel really good about our backs, and they were finishing runs.
Seems like when you force their secondary to make a few tackles on the run game, that's really when you see that play-action.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, that's a strategic deal. I think we do a good job of formation and people. And, you know, we're trying to do in our first 15, 20 plays during the first quarter, set stuff up, look at it formationally. And a lot of times we're looking from a team, if we motion, do they go from a two safety look to a one shell? And if they're doing that, there's some stuff that we can do from a play action standpoint. And certainly, you know, your kids got to go out and execute and give us real time information. And so it's been good to see it come to fruition, so to speak, in the last couple games.
Now, we talked with Mel a little bit about this earlier, about the playing at Arrowhead Stadium from a coaching standpoint. What does it mean to have your team be able to go into Arrowhead Stadium and play on an NFL field?
Well, it's special. It's truly a joint partnership. I think, I don't know how much Coach talked about it, but it is a joint partnership. And to pull something like that off, I mean, you have to have two great universities that want to work with each other. And then to boot, you got to have a great organization like the Kansas City Chiefs that want to host it. And I've been involved with other things at different places where you're doing stuff not at that scale, but it almost feels like you're maybe not really wanted there. But we've never felt like that in Kansas City. Those people have been over backwards to have us there. And it's been awesome to see. But our kids enjoy it. we've got a lot of kids from the Kansas City area. You know, I grew up in Maryville here, grew up a Chiefs fan, and we have a lot of Chiefs fans on our team. It's been really great this year, you know. Sundays when we come in, it's usually about an hour, right, when the Chiefs game got over, and to see all the kids decked out in their Chiefs stuff, and then we get after the guys from St. Louis about how bad the Rams are. So it's been a lot of fun, but it means a lot to them. We got a lot of kids that are Chiefs fans on our team, and it's just an exciting, you know, venue. I was just sitting there with my family talking about it. I know how loud 20,000 people are there. I mean, it's deafening. I cannot imagine being at that place last week. I can't even fathom how loud that had to have been. So it's exciting. It really is.
I know we've talked about how this game has been good for recruiting, obviously, for both sides. Let's go a little deeper. Tell me, like, when you're talking to a recruit in the Kansas City area, what sort of reaction do you get? And I'm sure that a lot of them know about the game already. It's not a surprise or anything. But just how they look at that and how they interact with you when you're talking about that opportunity for them.
Well, each year, it's a neutral site, but each year one team's designated the home team. So I'll take you through last year. Last year was our home game, technically our home game. And, you know, we get over to the stadium as coaches a little bit early. We finish up with our pregame meal, and we roll in, get into the locker room. But our support staff's already over there checking those kids in. And I think we had approximately 110 kids last year. Out of that group of 110, I think we ended up signing almost 18 of those kids. And so they're sitting in an NFL meeting room where the Chiefs meet. And then, you know, we give them our presentation on Northwest Missouri State, talk to them about the venue, the game, you know, our institution. And then you get up and you tour, and they're literally walking into the Kansas City Chiefs locker room where the Kansas City Chiefs dress, and they're seeing guys getting fatted up and getting their stuff on. And so it's powerful. It really is a powerful recruiting tool. And, you know, like I said, that's something that we've really tried to hammer, and we're really appreciative of the fact that we're able to do that.
And let's just talk a little bit, too, as you look at this matchup as well. Not only is it a big game every year, but this year in particular, you've got two undefeated teams and two teams in the top 10 coming into this match.
Yeah, I think that's what's made it a good rivalry. But both teams usually hold up their end of the bargain, so to speak, and show up there perfect or near perfect. And it certainly helps ticket sales, and I think generates some interest in the Kansas City area from, you know, both sides, alums from both sides. And they're a very good football team. We're a good football team, and you know, that's going to make for a great atmosphere.
It seems like they're back to being consistently. I know there was a little bit of downtime, and there's even been some games in this series where there's been a wide margin in terms of the total points, but it doesn't really matter. It never feels like that's a possibility going into the game,
no matter the situation. Sure, it certainly doesn't. I know in all the years that I've been involved in that, been on some of the good side of those, some of the bad side of those, yeah, you never expect to see the lopsided game. And that's why you've seen, you know, mostly close games. But, you know, I think the atmosphere has something to do with that. It takes the kids a while to get settled in to the atmosphere, the noise, and kind of get going a little bit with their communication and nonverbal communication. You have to do a lot of hand signals and things of that nature. And it's just, you get two good teams going after each other like that. I think you're usually in the first half, you're trying to feel each other out a little bit and see what each other's going to do. And, you know, I know a big point of emphasis for us is we're just trying to composure. We've talked about that all week. But you don't want to make any really stupid mistakes in the first 8 minutes of that game, you know, that costs your team points or big field position turnaround. So be a focus again, I'm sure, both teams this year.
What have been some of the things you've tried to do this week in practice to get the team adjusted to the noise level?
Well, we've done a little bit of music over in the neighborhood. It's been positive with some of the neighbors, not with all of them, but it's just one of those things. We try to get the music up a little bit with no huddle offenses nowadays. You know, let's start when we're on offense. You have to use so much communication, and down there you can't hear, so you go to a lot of hand signals, and it's challenging, and so we work all week on that. The flip side of that is defensively, you know, we do so much with our back end, making the checks, getting us into the right coverage. You know, a safety will be 7 yards from the other safety. safety and they can't hear each other. And they've got to use hand signals and they got to get it down to the linebackers. So that's why you turn that noise up and you try to get kids really working on their nonverbal communication.
I know we, during broadcast, talk about momentum a lot, you know, and I would think in the situation you guys are in with the noise level and everything, momentum is big because then you've got the other crowd maybe a lot quieter than what they would be, maybe making things a little easier.
Yeah, and you hope that's the case. You know, we kind of go the other way. We always talk about having to be able to turn the momentum, because if it does get on you in the bad way, that you got to be able to fight through it, and because it's tough when you're on the other end of it, when things have shifted on you. You know, I'm thinking about last year at that point in time when we were down, you know, not playing well, Pitt's playing really well. It just takes a couple plays to really ignite our crowd, ignite our kids, and get that energy level back up. And, you know, those things are what we focus on this week in practice and really have spent a lot of time talking about.
Again, we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell. The big matchup coming up on Saturday is Northwest and Pittsburgh State down at Arrowhead. We'll be back and have more with AD coming up right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We're broadcasting live on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. We're also talking with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. And again, a reminder, if you have any questions for AD, fill out one of the question cards, and they'll be brought up here, and we'll pass those along. And, Matt, one of the nice things about doing this show from week to week, not only the great crowd we have here at Carson, but we've got listeners not only over the airways, but also through the Internet.
Yeah, and some of them will try to apply pressure, as we have seen through the weeks, and got some, you know, Brandon Meisner's a Bearcat listening in the Kansas City area. He's got a home game this week, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
He told us to make sure we do a good job. Maybe not in those terms, but he wanted us to make sure we did a good job, so we'll give it a shot.
Adam, looking at this matchup with the Gorillas, talking with Tim Beck, the coach of Pittsburgh State, one of the things that he says stands out for both of these teams is really the speed of both squads. He feels is much better this year than maybe in the past.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we can and they can run in a lot of positions, even the D-line. Our D-lines can get up and go, and so can their kids. And I think that's maybe a little bit of a why the scores, you know, points per game. I think we're right at both at 43 points per game. And usually when you're scoring that many points, you usually have some kids that can run on offense. And then they definitely have some, and we do too.
When you talk about having speed, do you have to make sure that maybe sometimes you got to dial the guys down a little bit because speed can work against you, you know, especially on defense if you're not using it right?
Yeah, you've got to be careful. You don't get too geeked up to jump routes, and then you can't stop your momentum and have to, you know, backpedal on the double move or get turned around and on the double move. But, yeah, a little bit. And I think that's one of those things you look at. Probably going to see a couple reverses from them to try to slow us down. And, you know, that's one of the things we got to stay home backside. But, you can almost be a little bit over-pursue a little bit, and it gets you out of position to tackle.
What makes Pittsburgh State's offense so tough this year?
Well, I think they're doing a really good job of running the football, and that's setting up a lot what they're doing. That's number one. I think they're doing a really good job of moving John Brown around. Of course, they're going to utilize him, but they're moving him around, and they're not being predictable with him, and they're doing a really good job of getting him the football. I think they're a balanced offense, and they've got playmakers, and you know they're good up front. They got a good offensive line.
When you look at a team that has a guy like John Brown, it's got to show. I mean, it's even more important to have what you guys have in a secondary, and that you don't have one or two real good guys. You've got a whole good group, so if they do move him around, you really can trust the guys that are going to end up on him.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. They make a logistical nightmare for you from a defensive standpoint. It's, you know, the common theme in football is we'll just, you know, put somebody on him and cover him. It's not that easy when you're moving the guy around that much because from a coverage standpoint, every time you move somebody, you got to move somebody back to their place, and there's a little bit difference between playing a deep third and playing the curl of the flat or playing the flat, and you know, they're doing a good job of moving him around, so it kind of limits what you can do.
How would you assess the special teams this year?
I think they're very good on both teams. Obviously, I feel really good about what we're doing right now. You know, it's kind of a tale of two cities. What they're doing when their punt block team goes out there, they're not trying to block punts. They're trying to get – they've got two guys that are really good, and they send them. But the other guys, they're trying to get a hold up for John. And, you know, John's the most dangerous return man in, I think, college football right now. And they're trying to get the ball in his hand, set up a wall, do some things of that nature. So we're a little bit different in that terms. I think both teams have very good, kick return. Obviously, they've got him, and he's not touching the ball a lot right now because people are kicking away from him, squib kicks, sky kicks. But they're not doing a great job of doing it because if you look at Pittsburgh State starting field position, it's really good. And so he's still factoring into the game even though he's not touching the football. So we've got athletes on both sides on special teams. I think our punters, you know, very good. Their punters averaging 40-something yards a punt, and we both got very capable kickers.
Really thought what's been important, especially on punt team, like you said, you do have a good punter that can kick it a long ways, but it seems like even when he does, you've got guys getting downfield. He's not out kicking the coverage,
sure,
because of their hustle downfield.
Yeah, they're doing a great job of giving great second effort, and he's doing a really good job of Goodburn is of utilizing our game plan and what we're trying to do, and hopefully that'll continue Saturday. We need to have it continue Saturday.
When you look at the total matchup between these teams, what do you see as some of the big keys to what you're looking for and win on Saturday?
Well, I think the number one thing is turnovers. When you're playing against a great football team, you've got to win the turnover battle. That's been a focus of ours, so we've got to get some turnovers, but all ball security has to be really good, and we have to take care of the football. You know, I think the other factor, it's going to be really hard, but we got to try to make somebody else beat us other than John Brown. And you know, the guy was just only had 200 yards receiving last week and was the MIAA Offensive Player of the Week, and so it's going to be very challenging. But, you know, we'll do our best, and our kids will. And then, just trying to limit their running game and maybe get them into some third long situations. It's going to be tough, but we feel like maybe that can help us a little bit. And then offensively, we have to handle their pressure. They're going to line up and blitz us. That's what they do. That's their personality, and they're very good at it. And we've just got to be able to handle their different fronts on defense and what they do. But after that, special teams got to be sound. You know, you maybe not necessarily win the game in special teams, but sure don't lose it for yourself.
It seems like being mistake-free is important because good teams make little mistakes turn into big mistakes and take advantage of those.
They
better.
Sure do. And when you're playing a good offense like Pitt, you don't want to give them a short porch. You don't want to give them 30 to 40 yards to have to move to get points. It's just you're going to be in for a long day if you're doing that consistently. And the flip side for us, you know, if we can get a couple of those, we feel pretty good about our chances on a short field of maybe being able to get some points up.
All right, well, AD, thanks a lot for being with us, and that'll be a fun day on Saturday.
It will. Going to be great weather. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Adam Dorrell, the head football coach at Northwest Missouri State University. Stay tuned. We'll be back and wrap things up from this edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from national investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni R. Joe Smith and Greg Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from Bram Danfelt Funeral Home in Maryville at 206 East South Hills Drive. Director Jeff Bram provides families with pre-arrangements, burial, and cremation services. More at bramfuneralhome.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any one of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing community opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development. More at MaryvilleMO.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from MTE Office Centers with locations in Maryville and Cameron. Providing computers, printing, networking furniture, and office supplies since 1935, MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We wrap up another edition of the show. Before we close things out here, Matt, we have one more Bearcat Whiteout T-shirt to give away. It's in honor of this Saturday's matchup between Northwest and Pittsburgh State, as Bearcat fans encouraged to wear white to the game. Grace Fisher will receive a Bearcat Whiteout T-shirt. So Grace, come over and see over here, Chris, to our left, and you can get a Bearcat Whiteout T-shirt. So, again, that's one of the giveaways here this evening that we have on the show. And, Matt, should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, and the Cats as a team will be whiteout. They can do that even better this year with the new white helmet. So, yeah, it's as much white in that stadium as possible. It's going to look cool.
Yeah, it's a good look for the team.
Though. Yeah, it really is. They've got a preview. If you haven't seen it, you can go on the Northwest website and see a preview of that, and it is. It's a very sharp look. Of course, most of them have been, so.
Yeah, that's right.
He can't beat that.
And our thanks to all of our guests tonight on the Coach's Show, Pat McLaughlin, the women's golf coach, also Northwest Athletic Director Mel Churchma, defensive end Matt Meinert, and, of course, as always every week, the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. Support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located at near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides